Family, how are the holy ones doing? At least one holy one is always willing to speak. All right, in a cover of your bulletin, I put a picture. I don't know how many of you do understand historically what this picture means, but you can see there's two flags, and I just use two flags just as a symbol. I do not intend to talk about today to talk about the war between Christianity, what it was called Christianity, against Islam. That was not that's not our purpose, but it's just indication as a symbol. We'll be talking a little bit about tradition. Tradition. Many people understand that tradition sometimes is a good thing, as long as it is guided by biblical principles. There are traditions that do not need to be spiritual. We do a lot of things by habit that is not bad or wrong. It's just natural steps that we take in life. So that's not the type of tradition we talk about. We'll be talking about traditions that has implication in our eternal life. That is the point that I would like to make today. Flags of tradition. Now, you notice that it changed a little bit of color. The intent here is to put some stains of blood into the flags of tradition. There are a lot of flags that are today symbols of persecution, symbols of violence. And there are some flags that symbolize terror, some symbolize peace. There are a lot of flags. I have noticed that as I was studying for this message, there are thousands and thousands and thousands of flags. And each moment there is another cause and there is another flag. Everybody's making flags. And when there is crisis, as you can see the news, you always see in the background a lot of flags. You see violence? There are flags there. People trying to wave their flag by saying, "This is my time, this is what I do." I don't know how much you have heard, probably a lot, the crisis in the Middle East. It's very hard for us not to hear about. And you see the over there flags. One side claiming that their flag stands for something good. The other side says, you know, my flag stands for something good. And there is bad between the two. Flags of tradition. What is tradition? If you look the word tradition, you see the word right there in front of you, trade. You know, that's the trade is right there. Tradition is a trade. It's something that I have, I give to somebody, somebody has, give to me, and pass on and on. It's a trade. It says it's a transmission of customs or beliefs from generation to generation. You do not know, probably not, how much impact you have caused in somebody else's life. There are few things that you do and you don't even notice. And somebody goes on, change their lives, change many things in their lives because something that you did, something that you said. Or the fact of being passed on in this way. Now, here is a statement that I don't know if some of you know, but I try to find out who actually originated this statement for the first time. Every shade of color is fixed by tradition and governed by religious laws. That is a very, very powerful statement, but it's very close to reality as we know it. A long-established custom or belief that has been passed on from generation to generation. That's what traditions means. Doctrines believed to have divine authority. But what happens? They find no base in the scriptures. And yet, there are people teaching things to the whole world as if it were from the scriptures. But it's not. And that is the danger of tradition when it skips scripture just to please other people. The change that we accept or cause or ally in which we participate will affect generations to come. Everything that we do will affect other people. There is no change there. The Crusades. I don't know how many of you here have read about it. It was one time a very dark moment in history. And I'm not here, let me make this statement again, I'm not here to bash a Catholic person. When we talk about the system, we'll talk about the system, we'll not talk about the individuals. So there'll be a few things here today that has to do with that system, okay? The Crusades, the Bible did, prophecy did say that it was going to go for 1,260 years. But they did not just kill 10,000 people. There is an estimate they have killed more than 100 million people because it was a movement that went all over the place. And what happened with the Crusades? When they were coming, they were holding the cross. And they were saying that they were doing all those things in the name of Christ. So today, sometimes we see Muslims, and by the way, I don't mean to justify violence of any kind, but today we see Muslims doing exactly the same thing that people did in the name of Christianity. It doesn't matter what excuse you have. Wrong is wrong, and it cannot be justified. Just because somebody says, oh, I want some freedom, therefore I have the right to harm somebody else. There is no justification for us to use violence in order to obtain rights. There are other ways for us to obtain our rights than just kill other people. Now, you all know the heart of belief is a lie. And so sometimes people believe a lot of stuff that is just lies. The Bible says the devil also believes and he trembles. And he is the father of lies. Now, you have heard this, we have heard this word over and over again, right? Misinformation. Anybody knows what a misinformation is? A sophisticated way to say a lie. There's no such thing as misinformation. It's just lies, lies, lies. When people intentionally mislead other people. And that is sometimes the danger of a lot of traditions. Because they create because somebody decides to lie. But they believe that if I repeat this over and over and over and over, it becomes no longer a lie. It becomes accepted as a fact. And today in our society, we have a lot of things that we do by tradition, which is a lie. And sometimes we don't even realize we just play the game because it is easier just to accept things than to stand up for what is right. Genesis 3, verse 4, you all heard this. You will not surely die. This was a statement. A statement that became a tradition. And this tradition has lasted over 6,000 years. And is still growing stronger and stronger. A few days ago, the Roman Catholic Church was celebrating the All Saints Day, November 1st. What were they celebrating? The dead. Nothing else. But if you ask them, are you celebrating the dead? They say, no. Nobody dies. They are there on a purgatory, or they are there in heaven, or they are there in hell, but they are alive. You will not surely die. It's a tradition that has been carried on the name of Christianity. Not only Babylon is teaching this today, but all her daughters and other religions that are not even called themselves under the flag of Christianity, they are teaching the same lie. A tradition that has passed on. And it is a deadly tradition because people are misrepresenting What is sin? The sin has the consequence. The consequence of sin is death. Hebrews 9:27, which many people do not read in their Bibles, because if they read in their Bibles, they realize, and just as each person is destined to die, how many times? Once. Once. And after that comes judgment. But according to Satan and his tradition, which is being taught today, nobody dies. So this would not fit. So everyone have another tradition that they start, which is part of the same thing. You notice that they put a different uniform, but inside is the same individual that is causing all those traditions to come alive. You have there somebody who has a bunch of vegetables. And I can see some kids says, oh, vegetables. And there's Abel offering a lamb. And somebody preferred to eat a lamb than to eat vegetables. But in this case here, it was the meaning behind. And then a tradition has started. What was the tradition that has started? Cain will say, I praise God my way. Have you heard this in our day, in the way we are dealing with things now? Everybody has an opinion, and their opinion becomes the fact. It is what I say that goes. So Cain started this tradition. I will worship my way. And he became the father of all those that create systems of worship, ignoring what is God wants. Isn't it said that, I will pick on my brother Cleveland here. I want to talk to brother Cleveland about something. But what about if I choose to speak to him in Portuguese, because it's easy for me to speak in Portuguese than to speak in Swahili, which I do not know, except two or three sentences, or speak to him in English. It is easier for me, it's more convenient for me, it is my right, because that's my language, I'll talk to him in Portuguese. Do I care about him at all? Do I intend to be productive what I do? Do I intend to accomplish anything else? It is all about me. It is sadly, most traditions, it is about the individual that wants to enforce that tradition, not really about what is good for somebody else. And that was the main point of Cain. Cain wants to do things his way. He didn't care if God listened to him or not. And when God told him, Cain, if you do the right thing, I will accept you and your offering. And he went and murdered his brother. Today is not any different. When people that are very motivated to keep their traditions, they are told that they are wrong, they become violent immediately. And some become violent even in the name of Christ. This is another 6,000 years old tradition that is getting stronger and stronger. It's not going to go away until Jesus Christ comes. 10 suggestions, right? How do you call them? What the Bible is, 10 commandments or suggestions? Some people, they are just suggestions. Contrary to the popular Christian belief, we are not free to worship God the way we please. If you visit 1,000 different temples, you see people worshiping different. I'm not talking about worshiping different. I'm talking about the principle that motivates that kind of worship. The Bible and the Bible only. As a Seventh-day Adventist, we have one tradition. It is a good tradition. And I hope that we keep until Jesus Christ comes. And in Latin we say, sola scriptura. If most of you shook your head, you know exactly what that means. The Bible and the Bible only. But there are people inside of our church that sometimes forget that principle. I have been, and I shared with you here, a situation when I was explaining something from the Bible, and somebody says, "Oh, but Ellen G. White doesn't say that way." And I asked the person, "Are you implying that Ellen G. White does not agree with the Bible? Are you implying that Ellen G. White is above the Bible? What are you implying?" And the person was put on the defensive immediately. Sadly, sometimes it's not what Ellen G. White said or what somebody else said, is when some people take the step to twist it, the meaning of something, in order to have their way. Cain did, and everybody else who wants to do wrong, they always try to justify. Do you know what the danger about justifying things? When you're doing something wrong, but you justify it, then it ceases to be wrong to you. Therefore, you no longer seek repentance. You become a victim of your own process. And that is when we practice the sin against the Holy Spirit, if we can insisting to tell the Holy Spirit, "Please leave me alone. I already know what to do. I know what is right." Matthew 15, verse 3, New Living Translation, says, Jesus replied, "And why do you, by your own traditions, violate the direct commandments of God? Why do you do this?" And you may ask, do no Baptists have a Bible and says the same thing? Don't Presbyterians look open the Bible and see the same verse? Why do they not wake up? Because sometimes when you want to believe something so deeply, you close your eyes to reality, and you try to make your darkness to become your reality, your perception of reality. "You hypocrites," Isaiah was right when he prophesies about you, and I hope those words will never be applied to us as a Seventh-day Adventist. It says, "These people honor me with their lips." I would say these people honor me with their traditions, but their hearts are far away from me because their intent is not to please me. And it says their worship is farce. Some other verse says vain. And you know what a vain means, right? Vain means self-worship. That's what vanity is all about. When the word vanity, that means self-worship. You turn yourself into idol. "For they teach man-made ideas as commandments of God." Mark 7, 7, 9 says the same thing. "They worship me as a farce, is vain. For they teach man-made ideas as commandments of God. For you ignore God's law and substitute," and please pay attention to the word substitute, "your own with your own tradition." People go to church tomorrow. And do you know why they go to church tomorrow? Look at the verse. "For you ignore God's law and substitute with your own tradition." That's why. There's no other explanation. Then he said, "You skillfully, you know, you plan, you took time, you put energy to it, to sidestep God's law in order to hold on to your own tradition." I have talked to priests, Catholic priests. I have talked to Baptist preachers. I have talked to Pentecostal people. And every time we discuss about the Sabbath, they say, "Oh, that's the Old Testament. That's the first road that they take. That's Old Testament." Brothers and sisters, I can see them sometimes being justified because they are in a place where they are not exposed to the light as much. But there's a lot of danger for us that we know the truth and sometimes we do not walk in the light, even though we have the light. So don't think that we are only talking about them here, because if I only talk about them, I should talk to them, not to you. I'm talking about you, your faith. What do you do with your life? Because you know the truth, you must walk in the truth. Now, here comes something for the catechism. Anybody here ever studied the catechism before? I did. I was doctrinated until I dressed all in white. And I remember that day that I dressed all in white, complete, everything in white, socks, everything in white, even the shoes. And go with a candle in my hand to take my first communion. At that time, I was innocent. I thought that that was a way to go to heaven. And I did my best. I am the Lord your God. This is what the catechism says. It says that this is the first commandment. You shall not have a strange God before me. And then the catechism gave this second commandment. You shall not take the name of the Lord in vain. That's not the second. What happened to the second? You cannot blame the Catholic Church to get rid of the second. Do you know why they got rid of the second? Because they have to take all those dolls that they have around the table, everywhere, they have to take them down if they don't give it. So they said, instead of taking the idols down, I take the commandment down. Yeah. It's just like I say, I'm going to drive at 200 miles an hour and I don't want to hit anything. So please remove everything out of my path, out of my way. And you start going that speed, assume that everything is going to move out of the way. It won't. The commandment is still there. You shall not take the name of God. That's supposed to be the third commandment. And the third, it is actually the fourth. But in English, they said, remember to keep holy the Lord's Day. Why they put the Lord's Day? Because they are not talking about the Sabbath. They are talking about Domingo. Or Mingo, or Day of the Sun, the Lord's Day. That's the way, that's the day that they are talking. They are misleading people to believe that that's a, I have here another version. Honor your father and your mother. That's supposed to be the fifth. So they are, notice they are running one short. Okay? You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You should not bear false witness against your neighbor. And then they got here and they said, oops, we have only nine. What are we going to do? So let's get the nine and break it in. Let's get the ten and break it in two. So we came up with ten anyway. You shall not covet the neighbor's wife. You shall not covet the neighbor's goods. Especially if it's a good wife. So do not covet. It says do not covet. You see, they broke the, because they run short of one. So they have to multiply, you know. So they say we got that. Here is Mr. Francis. And he wrote a book. I cut the bottom part of it because it called him Abba. So I don't want to repeat something that is not correct. So I just put there, Bishop Francis, which is his title. And I have no problem show him as individual with respect for his title. His title is a Bishop of Rome. So he wrote this. This is what he wrote in Spanish. And I translate it into English. The Catechism about the Ten Commandments. It says, instructions about the Ten Commandments. It says, an explanation of each of the Ten Commandments. And he goes in his book talking about each commandment. Love God above all things. You're going to notice that this set of here is a little bit different than one in English. And both are published by the Catholic Church. Love God above all things. I translate this. This was all in Spanish. Do not take God's name in vain. And what is the third says?
Sanctify.
Sanctify the holy days. Now, here's a contradiction. If the days are already holy, how can you sanctify it? And humans cannot sanctify anything unless you're Catholic. Okay? So we cannot sanctify. We can only keep something holy, but we cannot make anything holy. But this is says, sanctify the holy days. Honor your father and your mother. Thou shalt not kill. And then it comes, thou shalt not commit an impure act. That's supposed to be adultery, but they decide to phrase in a different way. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness or lie. Thou shalt not indulge impure thoughts or desires. That is the same thing as the seventh. So again, they run out of one. They have to make up one. Thou shalt not covet. This is done by the bishop, the head of the church. The other one that I show you before, it is also published by the church. You can see that two sets of supposedly Ten Commandments, they don't match. And by the way, I found more published by the Catholic Church, and they are phrased. It's all a very big confusion. Now imagine those Catholics all received the instruction. Here are words from him. Okay, this is what he said about the fourth commandment. The Bible narrates the work of creation in 6 days. In conclusion, God saw everything he had made, and behold, it was very good. And then he continues. He who says, what happened here? Okay, I add something here, but then we're going to go back. He who says, I know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar and the truth is on him. I insert this there. Now comes, we'll continue. This is what the scripture says. Let's continue. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctify it, because on that day God rested from all the work he had done in creation. Brothers and sisters, they know the truth. That's the danger of tradition. Is when you put tradition more valuable than what God has to say. That's what Cain did. And everybody else who followed him, his tradition, is doing exactly the same thing. The church of Cain is still alive and very well. In the Old Testament, he continues. God established that the seventh day, not the first, of the week was holy. A day, notice that he said was holy. A day separated and distinct from the others. Man who is called to participate in the creative power of God by perfecting the world through his work must also stop working on the seventh day to dedicate it to the divine worship and rest. Those are the words that are coming out from his mouth and was printed and now is in a book and is told to millions and millions of people around the world. And it continues. Before the coming of Jesus Christ, you talk about the first coming, the seventh day was the Sabbath. And here is how you start talking to both ends of your mouth. It was the Sabbath. In the New Testament, it is Sunday. The day is Domini or Domingo, the Lord's Day, because it is the day of the Lord's resurrection. Says who? Where do you get such a power to change the whole thing? The Sabbath represented the end of creation. Sunday represents the beginning of a new creation that took place with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And what is the source that he used? Of course, their own source, catechism. Why is so? Because we say so. That's what the conclusion is. And that's the problem with tradition. You don't need it to prove anything. All you have to have is an opinion and repeat and becomes a tradition. Here's a picture. One side is the real Ten Commandments. The other side is the made up. And look what happens. They have switch, they have cancel one, and the image out, the Sabbath out, because those are the things that will collapse the whole claim that they have in Christianity. Now, if you know Jesus Christ's words in Matthew chapter 7, 21, 22, and 23, you can tell clearly, not everyone who call themselves Christians are really Christians. Satan can come as somebody from God. The Bible says they can manifest as angel of light. Now, do you know who this place is?
White House.
This is the place where we build traditions. This is the place where we have the power to raise new flags. And this place have created a lot of things. Good things, but something very terrible as well. Do you know what is the weakness part of this body? It's because they need to please in order to be elected. And that is not very productive in a rational environment when people need to be reasonable, when people need to use reason. They are willing to compromise principles so that they would not give up power. You know what they say, power corrupts? It surely does. Lack of principle corrupts. Revelation 12, verse 9 says, Satan, who deceived the whole world, yep, he used a lot of ways to do his deception. Yes, tradition starts very early in life. You keep facing tradition, and you do not know for pretty soon what is the difference between right and wrong. There are a lot of flags out there claiming, I have the right to do this, I have the right to do that. Please be careful. Don't raise a flag without a principle to make it stand. A flag that is not held up by principle, divine principles, it is a flag that will bring destruction in our life. Be aware, brothers and sisters, that Cain put up an altar, but he decided that tradition was more important. He did not intend to please God. Many of the traditions that we are following today, the people claim to, they even use some biblical words, compassion and equality and so on and so on. And the devil speaks with a voice of angel, but that doesn't mean that he is an angel. He is just the devil. John 4:24 says this, for God is his spirit, so those who worship him must worship him in his spirit. And many people stop there. Many people, they just stop there. They don't want to read the rest of it. If you worship God in his spirit but no truth, you're worshiping the wrong spirit. You're worshiping demons. That's what you're worshiping. And you go on and saying that you are a Christian and everything else. And the word of God, the Lord says, the word of God, the word of the Lord came to me and said, what are you doing? What do you mean when you use this proverb? Meaning, in other words, for tradition. Concerning the land of Israel, saying, the fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. This was said more than 550 years before Christ. Christ was speaking to Ezekiel, saying this, what in the world are you keep going on with this heresy? That heresy, it is still alive today, more alive there today than ever. When people are still teaching that children are born with sin, that is a tradition that has been from the Garden of Eden. As I live, the Lord, this is God swearing. He says, as I live, says the Lord God, you shall know longer use this proverb in vista. You should never, ever again say this in your life if you are a true Seventh-day Adventist. Don't say that somebody it is born with their parents' sin, because this is a blasphemy. And that is tradition. It was there around Israel. Let me tell you, 550 years later. Now let me read this first. This is Jeremiah talking about when the time of Jesus Christ was coming. In those days they shall say no more, the fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. Here is God using Jeremiah as he used Ezekiel, says, stop this nonsense. This is heresy. Don't keep repeating this. Now, John 9, you can see that, you can read this story in chapter 9. 550 years later. And his disciples ask him, saying, Rabbi or teacher, who sinned? This young man that was born blind or his parents? Who sinned? They were exactly the same thing that God told Ezekiel. Tell them, stop this. Told Jeremiah, stop this. And they're still alive, the heresy, and it's still more than 2,000 years later, is still here. But even if we are an angel from heaven, and this is our last verse, I believe is one of the last verses that we have. It says, but even if we, who is we? Who is we?
Us.
No. We. The apostles. He says, even if we, the apostles, the one who have been with Jesus, even if we, or an angel, meaning, if you translate the word angel here, a messenger comes from heaven, preach to you any other gospel that goes beyond this, that we have a, let that be what? A curse. Verse 9 says, as we have said before, so now I say it again. If anyone, it doesn't matter if it's from Rome, it doesn't matter if it's from a general conference, it doesn't matter if it's from Southeastern California Conference office, it doesn't matter if it's from this pulpit, if anyone preach anything that is not according to this book, it is just man-made traditions. Stay away from it, because there is no salvation in tradition. There is salvation only in Christ. Don't waste your life by being a slave of habits. I know there is comfort in copying habits. Sometimes it's easier to do what everybody else does than to stand with courage and be brave and to do what is right. Amen. The last days are coming. You can look all around. You can see that days, terrible days are ahead of us. The quality of your faith, the quality of your relationship with your Savior, is going to make a difference if you will be standing when Jesus calls your name.
Amen.
Let's stand and sing the blessed assurance that we find in Jesus Christ.